Did you know Apple was in the printing business, the cash printing business? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Today, Apple of Cupertino, California, will reveal how much money it's been making. Take those profits, divide by the number of shares, and the result could be a record. But with the release of the new thinner iPad, there's talk that growth for tablets is slowing, but even beyond tablets and the iPhone, Apple has some other money makers. These include the Mac desktop computer itself, where the price starts at $2,500 for the new one, at a time when a Windows laptop can be had for $200. Adam Leshinsky covers Silicon Valley for Fortune magazine.
The interesting thing about the slowing growth of the iPad is to compare it with the Macintosh computer, which has been around forever now. And for Apple, this is a relatively small part of their business compared with iPhones and iPads, but it's a very profitable business. And so everyone describes Apple as a hit-driven business, and it is. But they now have the added benefit of this annuity business that, while it doesn't grow quickly, it throws off a ton of cash. And so if the iPad were to become a similar annuity-like product, it wouldn't be the end of the world. Now, this wouldn't necessarily excite investors because investors want growth, but it's really good for the health of a company to have those kinds of product lines.
Fortune's Adam Leshinsky is also author of the book Inside Apple. There is a fundraiser in New York tonight for the American Indian College Fund, which is turning 25. The nonprofit was set up to help 30 tribal colleges and universities. These are federally funded schools, but there is work to be done. As Marketplace's Amy Scott reports from the Education Desk at WYPR, Native Americans are less likely to finish college than any other ethnic group.
You may have seen the American Indian College Fund's public service announcements on TV.
I'm an example that it's possible to get an education.
Only about 10% of American Indians and Alaskan Natives have a bachelor's degree or higher, compared to about 30% of all adults. The fund's president, Cheryl Crazy Bull, says the big reason is poverty. The average tribal college costs about $15,000 a year, but the federal Pell Grant for low-income students covers just about $5,000.
It's a very affordable education, but for students in environments where there might be a 60, 70, 80% unemployment rate, it's a huge gap.
The College Fund tries to bridge that gap with scholarships. It's aiming to raise an extra $25 million this year. This week, it got a boost from Comcast and NBC Universal, $5 million in ad time for a new public service campaign. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Now let's check the numbers. The 100-share index in London is down 0.9%. The often volatile Nikkei index in Japan rose 4%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up this morning. Coming up on 2 years since Superstorm Sandy hit the East Coast, wrecking or paralyzed the New Jersey shore, Manhattan, New York's Long Island, and beyond. Scientists predict that by the middle of this century, low-lying areas from Boston to Baltimore will flood frequently due to climate change. Reporter Ilya Meritz says these long-term forecasts are putting increasing pressure on state and local governments to boost their financial resilience.
After Sandy's floodwaters receded, New York commissioned Swiss Re to put a price tag on the cost of future storms. The insurer ran thousands of climate scenarios and came up with some sobering numbers. Here's one, $90 billion. If a storm comparable to Sandy happens in 2050, it could cause $90 billion of insured damage in New York City alone, 4.5 times the damage done 2 years ago.
Yeah, so we're talking about a very different climate scenario in 2050.
Alex Kaplan is with Swiss Re.
The amount of economic losses on climate events across the country will put an increasing burden on these governments and their ability to respond quickly.
Kaplan says it's time to start learning from places that are already planning for disasters in innovative ways. Some of these countries may surprise you.
Like in the Caribbean, even in a country like Haiti.
Yes, Haiti, our poorest neighbor in the Western Hemisphere. Haiti's big innovation? It buys insurance tied to a specific trigger, like wind speeds or earthquake intensity. This is called parametric insurance.
Because of that defined trigger, you can very quickly release the payout from the insurance policy.
Just 2 weeks after the disastrous 2010 earthquake, Haiti got a check for almost $8 million. It wasn't nearly enough to pay for the damage done, but it sure helped that the money came quickly, Kaplan says.
Well, we haven't started the repairs yet. It's shut down, but...
Here in New York, the subway system is still fighting to collect on its traditional insurance claims from Sandy. But the subway's new post-Sandy insurance policy is parametric, like Hades.
This is your first time here?
Yes, it is.
I'm in Lower Manhattan with Laureen Coyne, Director of Risk for the Metropolitan Transportation Authority. We're looking at a white tube partially submerged in the harbor. It's a tidal gauge, which will trigger an automatic payment of $200 million to the subway system if the water rises.
How high does this have to get to trigger the policy?
The trigger is 8.5 for the gauges in the battery.
That's 8.5 feet above sea level, or from where we're standing on shore.
So kind of roughly waist height.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Small child.
Yeah.
Coyne admits the $200 million policy would only cover a fraction of the likely damages. But the fact that the cash would come fast helps her sleep better at night. For the rest, the subway system still depends on everyone's favorite insurer of last resort, the U.S. federal government. In New York, I'm Ilya Meritz for Marketplace.
There's a kind of digital carry case for Marketplace programs. Look for Marketplace in the app stores. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.